Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Let's look at the Christmas story this morning. What a story. Oh my goodness. Let me just say this. Jesus is forever. Let me just say this. Jesus is forever. You serve Him forever. I'm so glad we do. I'm so glad He rescued us and delivered us and cleansed us with His blood and died for us and rose. But you know, this whole event, let me say this. This event of Christmas proves there's a God outside of the Bible. You say, why is that? There's no ability in human society or history to carry a philosophy or an idea for over 2 millennia. You say, why? What do you mean by that? God placed an eternal element into the gospel and took 2,000 years to prove it was eternal. Amen? You say, what do you mean by that? He's going to wrap this thing up. It's coming to a very quick end. These are the last seconds of the last days. And in the midst of all of it, God's going to show Himself strong. And all of the glory of what happened when Jesus was born upon this earth literally will have to submit to the glory of what's going to happen in His second coming. Amen. So let's go to that first coming. What a glorious, glorious story and a glorious time. I'm going to go to the King James traditional, but I've got a couple of notes here that we'll make during the way. Notice verse 1 of Luke chapter 2. For you that do Christmas devotions and stuff around the Christmas tree, these are good. Luke chapter 2 is a great reference. It says, "It came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." So there's your world government right there. They're taxing what they knew as the known world, what they had conquered at that time. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now, just for a moment, understand, pull back the veil of the flesh and look in the spirit for a moment. You know, the first scripture that was given that was unique to the Lord Jesus Christ was Genesis 3:15, when God declared in the midst of the sin, the fall of mankind, that it would be the seed of the woman that would bruise the head of the serpent. That word bruise in the Hebrew means it will take his authority away from him. Amen. That's what Jesus came to do, was take the authority away from the devil, then give you his authority so you can demonstrate his defeat in your life. Amen. Now, you know, during this time and throughout the history of man, it has been Satan's objective to raise up a world government. He's done it many, many, many times, beginning with Egyptians, Assyrians, Babylonians, the Persians, the Medes, the Greeks, the Romans. I mean, just nation after nation rose up, became world dominating. Now, in our lifetime or our lifespan, something that would be unique to us would be the rise of the Third Reich. That was literally a wall trying to be put up to literally defy God and say, God, you can't do this. What did the devil see in the spirit? What did he understand by the Spirit that made him do that, raise up an Adolf Hitler? I'm going to tell you what it was. He saw May 15th, 1948. You say, what is that? The beginning of his end. When an eternal being gets put on a time clock and it starts to click. The formation of that nation of Israel began that time clock. Amen. And all of these, quote, world governments that have ever tried to raise up, none of them has been successful. All of them have been put down because there's only going to be one 1,000-year reign upon the earth, and it's going to be this guy right here, Jesus, that was born in Bethlehem. Oh, I ought to get a better amen than that. It says that all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, he's got a pregnant wife, big and pregnant, 9 months pregnant, ready to give birth, and he's got to travel 65 miles from where he lives to Bethlehem to be taxed. That was what the law said to do. That's what they had to do. And they had the whole Roman army there to enforce that. So they didn't have much choice. So you could imagine that journey probably took several days, you know, with a pregnant wife like that, probably took several days. Now notice, it says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, if you read this on the surface, you would kind of think that, well, maybe the hotels were full up and there was no place. But that's not true. You have to study the culture of what was going on in that area at the time. Now, Bethlehem was not a big town, big city like Jerusalem was. Bethlehem was a very small town, very small. And so most of the people that lived in Bethlehem were related. They all came from the same tribe. They were all from the tribe of Judah. So they were all related. So as the custom of the day was, I went back and studied this through many commentaries, you would come into the city of your birthplace. Most of your relatives would live there, and there would be rooms, there would be places in every house that were prepared for the guests when they come. For when your uncles come, your aunts come, your cousins came, there would be a place there for them to stay, and they would reciprocate whatever city they lived in. They built their houses the same way. They got there late. It took them 3 or 4 days to make the journey. They got there late and there was no room in the inn. Now, what's unique about Bethlehem, and we'll see that in just a few moments, is that Bethlehem is known for its shepherding and the shepherds that live in the Bethlehem area that do what? Does anybody have any clue what the Bethlehem shepherds do? They raise spotless lambs. Amen? And the manger and the place where Jesus is laid would be the place where the ewes would be taken and those lambs would be delivered and judged right there. And judged right there, if they had a flaw on them, they did not go into that manger. But if they did not have a flaw, that manger was lined with all kinds of soft material, all kinds of soft straw. It was for the mother and the little lamb to lay there because that lamb was special. That lamb was spotless. That lamb would live a year and then he would be sacrificed and his blood would be shed on the altar of the temple so that the sins of the people would be forgiven for a year. Wow. So the only place left for them was what? The manger where they birthed the spotless lambs. And when Jesus was born, they took the spotless Lamb of God and laid him in the manger because he was perfect. I said, because he was perfect. Wow. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angels of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. All people. Everybody say, all people. All people. Thank God that the gospel is inclusive to all people. Everybody say, all people again. That is so cool. Let me find my place. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now listen what he says. Lying in a manger. They knew what that meant. Not lying in some relative's nice soft bed somewhere, but lying in a place in which the spotless lambs are kept. They knew that. No wonder they rejoiced. No wonder they got excited. No wonder they knew. For years and years, their heritage was to raise these beautiful specimens of agriculture, a beautiful spotless lamb, then do what? Cut his throat and drain his blood as a drama played out every year for what would happen 33 and a half years later to this spotless lamb. Wow. My, my, my. Find it here. It says, it shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with them a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. Now notice it very carefully. Goodwill toward men, not goodwill among men. There's one of the tragic fallacies of the Christmas story is that people think God sent Jesus to bring peace among men. He did not send Jesus to bring peace among men. He sent Jesus to bring peace between you and God. That's where the peace was broken. That's where the peace was messed up. That's where the peace had been destroyed. If you think there's peace among men, look at the history of man since Jesus was born. We've killed each other wholesale and learned how to do it in such ways today that they can just wipe whole bunches of people off the earth. Death is unique to the human family, but life is unique to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Thank God. I would much rather have peace between me and God than peace between me and you. But listen, listen, because I've got peace with God, I can have peace between me and you. Amen. Now notice. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made it known abroad, saying, which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now we must understand, the life we've been given, the Bible says that God is the Father of all spirits. We are spiritual beings, clothed in physical bodies, with a buffer of a soul, mind and emotions and will. And God sent His Son Jesus to redeem us at the very base level in our spirit man on the inside. Salvation is a choice. But let me say this. God gives a man, and when I say man, I mean a man and a woman, a lifetime. And even though you may have what you may think is a search for God in your own life and your own heart, in reality, God has been searching for you, looking for you, doing things in your life, covering you with grace, giving you compassion. And I'm talking about people that don't even know God, that don't even know Him, that aren't even born again. Because if it was not for God and the acceptable year of the Lord that Jesus Christ ushered into this earth, all of us would have been dead 10 seconds after we were born. Satan would have made sure of that. But when Jesus came to this earth, was born in a manger, lived a sinless life, did signs, wonders, and miracles, not to show the deity of God, but to show the compassion of God and the mercy of God. Amen? Then He died on a cross, and He rose from the dead. The first person to ever overcome death was a God-man named Jesus. And when He did that, because of the laws of the spirit realm, not the laws of the natural realm, not the laws of the soulish realm, because of the laws of the, remember, the law of the spirit of life in Christ sets us free from the law of sin and death. So that law is enacted, which is what? The law of humanity, which is what you have in your heart and what you say with your mouth, you possess. So He set up salvation in such a way that the Bible says if you really want the true gift of Christmas, all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. And when you do that, you respond to everything God did, not only on Christmas Day, but everything He did through those 33 and a half years and through that death, burial, and resurrection, and then by sending the Holy Ghost and the kingdom of God being on the earth for 2,000 years. The end result of it is we're fixing to see the greatest demonstrations of God's glory in this dispensation that we've ever seen. In the ending of the church age, the great tribulation of the earth, and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible talks of the greatest sign, the greatest sign, the greatest sign of the last days and the end time. Do you know what it is? It's scoffers and people that say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. He said it 2,000 years ago, and I don't believe it. But thank God, God puts faith in our heart. He puts revelation in our spirit. He gives us His Word, which empowers us to believe things beyond the natural realm. And I'm telling you, if you serve God, if you know Him, you know how close this stuff is getting. You sense it in your spirit. Every time you pray, every time you read the Bible, you know something has changed. Something is different. Something is going on. It is a magnetic pull to one side or another, to the glory of what God will do in His church and in the kingdom in these last days, and to the tragedy of what's going on in this world and its system. And what life is your choice. You're given a whole life to choose Jesus. I've prayed with men on their deathbed. I mean, it's an amazing thing to walk into a hotel room and see a man struggle with death. It's very freaky. But then to explain that you were born into a family and the family is cursed and you need a new family and God came and He sent Jesus so that you can be born into a brand new family. The cursed family is the human family, but the blessed family is God's family. And with one decision of your life, you can step out of the human family and into God's family. And that's by believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. In so doing, you possess something supplied over 2,000 years ago. Now think of this, and I'll close. This will be my closing. We've been in ministry now, next year, 2024 will be 80 years. Help me, Lord. We don't want to go that long. But, you know, I came up in ministry and preached a lot of evangelistic-type meetings when I traveled and saw hundreds, even thousands of people saved. And we did use that phrase many times of, you know, come forward in the altar calls, come forward, get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But, you know, none of that is true. I had somebody say that to me, so I went and studied it out. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, come to Jesus, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But it does say that when you're born on this earth, you're in the book. And you're given a life. I kind of see it like this. He puts it in pencil. We know what pencil is. It can be erased. But the day you say, I do to Jesus, not I'll try, but I do, He takes it and He goes over that pencil with blood and writes your name in the blood of Jesus, in the Lamb's Book of Life, permanently, for eternity and forever. Don't miss heaven. Don't miss what God is doing in the earth before these days transpire and play themselves out. Be involved in the glory of what God is doing in these last days. Christmas, listen, Christmas is just the cherry on top of the cake. It's amazing. We get to celebrate it every year. People always, I've heard people say, well, we really don't know when Jesus was born, but we celebrate. And then I had somebody else come to me and tell me about some pagan holiday and all this kind of stuff. Let me help. Do you believe Easter happened you think the death, burial, resurrection of Christ actually happened at Easter, huh? Well, of course it did. It was during the Passover. We have all kinds of documentation of how that happened. Don't you think the same thing is true? God's not a fool, and He's not involved in any kind of deceit. Amen. So when do you think Jesus was born? December 25th. Come on, church. Everybody look at me like. Well, then let me ask you a question. Why do you celebrate it on December 25th? Duh. That's just a footnote, amen? Here's the important thing. Tonight, our family will gather and have dinner, and tomorrow in the evening we'll gather again as a family. Open presents. I leave none of mine unopened. And I use them for whatever I can, whatever they're designed to do. I love Christmas. I love presents. Just like what I mentioned Brother John Osteen in the gifts under the tree. Those presents are there for you. Everything that God has given us in Christ, redemption, such a cleansing. That's the only way I can describe it. It's not just the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin is unique to the believer when he breaks the law of God or misses the mark. For the sinner, the sinner's sins are not forgiven. The sinner's sins are remitted, which means the sins are taken and given a journey to an eternal place that it can never reach. The Bible says that it's removed. Sin is removed from us as far as the east is from the west, which is a geological phenomenon. You can go north on the planet till you go south, but you cannot go east till you start going west. Figure that one out. God says, I remove your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. Not only that, In salvation, he removes the motivation on the inside. There's a motivation for sin. It's in every one of us. It's inherent. It's part of the human curse. But the day you make a decision, I'm going to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, that motivation is gone. You're no longer motivated to sin from the inside. You're not any longer by nature a sinner. Your nature has changed. That's why sin's no fun anymore once you get saved. But then you're left with all this human baggage. Our soul has been trained by iniquity. Iniquity teaches you how to get into all these vices and addictions and all this kind of stuff. But see, God makes a way where there is no way. There's not only just salvation and the remittance of sin, but part of the power of that salvation is He breaks the power of your conscience or lifestyle and gives you a brand new life. Makes you a new creature. You have a new hope, a new life, a new faith. Everything is new every day. Every day. And then you get to draw closer and closer and closer to Him as you live upon this earth and all the pain that it deals out. You have an answer for every problem. Lee and I have been married 37 years. We've never had a problem we did not have an answer for. Am I right? We never had a problem in 37 years of marriage. I've never had a problem in 40 years of ministry. I've never had a problem that I did not have the answer for. I may have had to look. I may have had to knock. I may have had to seek. But I always found. The door was always open. Amen. The door was always open. God always made a way. And He loves you as if you were the only person on the earth to love. He cares about you with a compassion beyond human understanding. And He has a plan for your life. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, it does not matter. He has a plan for your life that would blow your mind. I mean, I don't know how to explain my life in the past 40 years. When I started this journey, my imagination could not reach that far. And let me say this, in my life, this is my testimony. This is my testimony that Philippians 3 is true. God is a God. God is a God that can do exceedingly abundantly. Excuse me, Ephesians chapter 3. God is a God that can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. You just got to cooperate with Him. Amen. Now, in closing, every head bowed. Bow your heads in reverence to the Lord. Every eye closed, respect men and women around you. And let me just, a simple Christmas Eve altar call. Do you know where you are with God? Are you right with God? Is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Savior? Do you recognize His ownership in your life? I like to say it like this sometimes. Is He Lord and Savior, or is He just Savior and not Lord? Put it to you this way. If you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, what an opportunity. What a Christmas gift to receive. It's so easy. You say, do I have to join this church? No. Do I have to do this? No. All you have to do is to believe on Him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. Or you may be here and you say, Pastor, I've given my life to the Lord. He is my Savior. But I've just not been living right. I've not been doing right. I've not been serving God. I've got a prodigal spirit. I need to return to the Father's house. Let me say this. The Father's waiting on you, not with judgment, not with condemnation. He's waiting for you with blessing, with blessing. So any one of those two categories, never been saved or you need to get right with God, if you need prayer this morning, simply you have to only do one thing. Just lift your hand, put it down real quick. Anyone? See one hand, two hands? Anyone else? Three hands. God bless. Anybody else? Look around with me. Ushers, help me real quick. Real quick. Anyone else? Three people have raised their hands. Four, I see another. God bless you. Anyone else? If that's God dealing with your heart, then get right with God this morning and believe God in 2024, you're going to stay right and receive His blessings. Amen? So we've had four. Anyone else, real quick, let me get up here so I can see. Praise God. We're not going to ask you to come up front in any way, anything like that. But quickly, if God's dealing with you, say, I need to be right with you. Just lift your hand up real quick, put it back down. Anyone else? Good. Praise God. We've had four that raised their hand. Everybody stand on your feet. Now we're going to help them out, church, right? Oh, come on. I get a better amen than that. I said, we're going to help them out. That means we're going to pray with them. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead in a prayer. The whole church is going to pray with you guys. Everyone that lifted your hand. Amen? Now, after you pray that prayer, you settle it. In your mind, you have this thought, and you make it go over and over in your mind. I'm right with God. I'm right with God. I'm right with God. Then say this at the end of that thought, say, and I'm going to stay right. And you will. And you will. So, and after we pray, you four that raise your hand, after we pray, when you're leaving, stop at the book counter, and they'll give you my three books so you can, that'll help you walk with God. Amen? Y'all ready to pray, church? Everybody, here we go. Heavenly Father, right now, Christmas Eve, 2024, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. 2023, I'm trying to get ahead. Thank you, Lord. You sent Jesus to the earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, did signs, wonders, and miracles, died on a cross, rose from the dead, did it all for me. I believe it. I receive it. I accept it. Heavenly Father, you know me better than I know myself. You know the areas of my life that do not please you. I ask forgiveness, believing I receive the blood of Jesus, which cleanses me from all sin and all unrighteousness. As I stand at Island Church, December 24th, 2023, I'm saved. I'm right with God. I've gotten right. I'm going to stay right. I have unwrapped the Christmas gift, and I will enjoy it the rest of my life and throughout eternity in Jesus' name. Now give Him praise. Come on. Come on, give Him praise. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Now, let's pray and be dismissed, and I want to pray over everybody. Bless you in the name of Jesus. And just believe God with you that your Christmas celebration, the rest of this day and tomorrow, is just going to be joyous and glorious. We have so much to be thankful for. Remember one of our catchphrases in faith. Don't look at what you don't have and what you can't do. Look at what you do have. Look at what you can do. And I guarantee you, God will bless your life. Father, thank you so much for your glory, for your blessing. And Father, thank you that we have an eternity to thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We celebrate you every day. And Lord, when this whole world decides to celebrate you on one day, Lord, our voices are even louder. Father, we thank you for protection and safety. We claim your word, no evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh our dwelling. Men and women that have to travel, we thank you on the airways, the highways, the seaways, the railways, any other travel or transportation for recreation, pleasure, doesn't matter. We claim the protection of God. Thanking you, Lord. You bless our going out, you bless our coming in. Stir our spirit man on the inside. Let us be an answer to people's prayer this holiday season. A miracle in someone's life, a problem for the devil. An answer to somebody's prayer. Father, we leave today walking in faith and love toward you. Thank you for your Christmas gift. We continually receive from it all the days of our life. We walk in faith and love toward one another. Thank you for our church, and we leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.